as you can see, the praise team is taking a break today. They played all day yesterday and did a wonderful job. If you were not able to be here yesterday, you missed out on an incredible day of praise. But praise God, we are here today. The ground behind us has been consecrated. The ground we're on has been consecrated. This is all God's ground. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Give God the glory. April and her husband and Ashley, their daughter, has come to be with us this morning, and they're going to lead us in praise. And let's just go to the Father and ask His blessing to be upon the service this morning. And guys, as we come together, as we sing together, as we pray together, as we worship together, remember, we're doing this all for the glory of God. But when we leave out of here, I pray that each one of us has come to a relationship to where we hear Him specifically in our hearts. So open your hearts today to listen for the Word of God. That's my prayer this morning. Father God, I do come before You and thank You for this opportunity that we can gather in Your house, gather in this place, and proclaim Your righteousness. We thank You, Lord, that You are Lord of lords, King of kings, that You are God. Father, may You just bless this service today. And if there is someone here today, for whatever the reason, does not know You, they have yet to bow that knee, they have yet to surrender their heart unto You, may this be the day, Lord God, that they come to have that saving knowledge, that grace move in their life and in their heart. May Your will be done here this day. Be with April and her family as they lead us in song. God, just speak to each one of us in an intimate way. And it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good seeing everybody. Walk around a second, shake hands with somebody and give them a hug and just tell them it's good to see them in God's house this morning.
Up in Jesus' name.
Oh, there we go. Ted, you didn't have to look up.
Just set the mark. Yeah, there you go. Just a few announcements this morning, guys. I want to make sure there's a lot of announcements in your bulletin. First of which I've already kind of touched on. We had a wonderful day yesterday. Had a glorious day. And I know there were some people who called me and said that they were wore out from the heat and everything yesterday. I thought it was a great day. So we do need to keep look around you. Some of those that aren't here today, maybe some of those who called me. We keep them in prayer that they're getting rejuvenated and rehabilitated and ready to keep on rocking for this next week. But it was a good day. If you weren't able to be here, we had prayer, we had song, we had just a great day.
At the end, Senator Cruz closed it out in prayer. It was just a wonderful day yesterday. Amen. So that is the first turning of the dirt, if you will. The first prayer for the ground. Not the first prayer, obviously. Carla prayed for years. But everything's getting started. God is about to start a wondrous work. He's been doing wondrous works. But we're about to see something come from the ground and from the ashes to fruition. And we just need on a daily basis be praying for that. Amen? Okay, the only things I'm going to point out this morning, May 8th, that's coming up, is Tuesday night ladies' Bible study in Bunko. It's been a while. This is the first time. You know, we broke the ladies of shooting dice for a while, but couldn't keep them from it forever. So Tuesday night, they're back at it. No, it's a Bible study in Bunko. If you want to come be a part of that, that's Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Hope you can come and be a part of that. I do want to point out on there, it says from the youth group, thank you for all the donations. I don't know the exact final tally, but I do know that over $1,100 yesterday to the youth group. Amen. And I was told several times that the youth were over there working, and there was quite a few people who were visiting who were impressed that the youth would come out on a day like that and spend all day under there and try to make money for their camps and their things they just want to do, and pizza parties such as that. So that was a huge success. You guys helped that come to be. I don't know who sent my granddaughter to me to ask me for a 20, but I did help my spot there. Have you noticed, guys, it's easy to tell your kids no, but the granddaughters, it's not so easy. Anyway, that was a huge success. The only other thing I want to point out, it's not there. No, two more things, actually. No services this evening. I am going to be flying out after church today. We're going up to Ohio. Albert and I, we're going up to a pastor's conference in Ohio. So I'll be flying out. So no services this evening. The other thing I want to, I don't know if you picked one up. This was on the back table. There were some T-shirts. I didn't even realize these T-shirts had gone out. But there's T-shirts. People say, oh, I want one of those shirts. Oh my goodness, Kathy researched it out and put this together. These are the prices for those shirts to have them made. So if you're wanting one of these shirts, get one of these papers or get with Kathy and she can help you out on how we're going to reorder some more of those shirts. All right, that's enough announcements this morning. Brother Ted came to me this morning and asked if he could do the scripture reading today. So he wasn't on the schedule, but he had something that the Lord laid on his heart that he wanted to share. Where'd he go?
Right here, Freddie.
Oh, there you are. Come on up, Ted. Well, I'm looking at your wife back there. And you...
I'm hiding in front, bro.
Amen. Come on up, brother. Father God, I just come before you right now, lift Ted up to you, and just ask, Lord, that you would just bless him. May we hear your words through him. And Father, I just pray your will to be done now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Love you, brother.
Love you too, man.
So we had a gamble at least, and God wanted me to say something, but I didn't know how to. He kept kicking me in the rear end. I could talk, you know, I'm not just people. I think people I can stutter or stammer or forget what I'm going to say. But he kept at me. And well, anyway, he kept after me like that, and finally I put in it. God wanted me to say something. And it's for youth group. And I got up and said, I thank you for the prayers for our church. All the different churches and the youth. Then I looked up and said, you know, November 5th, a young man with Satan in his heart come to kill the church. Some people say it's a family thing. No. A man with 15 magazines, 39 magazines, he's not after 2 or 3 people. He's after the whole church. But God had other plans. You know. God turned that around. Who would ever think this small community in 7 chances would be the light of the world to reach the world?
Amen.
And that's y'all. It's not the government. It's like it's the people united in one. And the strength we quickly show to with one another to the world. I don't know if you meant a lot of the banners we got around here, I think some talking banner. These come from all over the world. Of youth group, children group, praying for our church. We've had visitors from around the world to do church. We're getting callers like that. I mean, it's kind of like truckloads. And it couldn't hardly answer all the mail. But, I'm trying to get my front shape, I'm saying. But, he's with us all the time. We're going to have to lean on one another. Because there's one body in Christ. And it's, you know, I don't know if you've seen the churches, the church were on the media used to wear it, and he said, one accord.
One accord. One accord.
Abel, one accord.
One accord.
Amen. We're all under one Jesus, people love him. And we have to lean on each other, protect each other, support each other. One need help, so we need to be there for them. I know in our Sunday school, we contact is helping one another. If somebody just needs somebody help, what can help them? With that way, we'll grow God's church. And it, on the back of the youth church, I don't feel like it was yesterday, but I think it was Philippians 2:2. But I'm going to go, I'm going to start at 1-5, or 1-4. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, and any such of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfilled my joy by thinking the same way, have the same love, share the same feelings, hopes on one goal, do nothing out of my or consent, but in humility, consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out. Not only for his own interests, also the interests of others. Two because you have to do it both ends. I'm gonna have something we don't never do like that. I like trying to join hands in unity.
Ted asked me to lead us in prayer and unity, and I think that's a great thing. Thank you for your word this morning, Ted. Father God, I do come before you now, and I just ask that we are united behind you. You are the head of the church, the head of the body, and the head of the house. Lord God, I know it is getting harder for Ted to be able to come up and speak in front of us as he has now, but he chose to listen to you and do what you called him to do. And he came and shared your word, Lord God, that we are to reach out to one another, help one another, unite with one another, but most of all, to be united behind you as our Lord and our Savior. So guys, we go into this service now as we sing, as we pray, as we worship. May we be united in knowing and understanding that you are God. Father, may our hearts As we hear April sing, may we hear you through her. Bless her and her husband as they play and sing. And God, may your will be done in our hearts as we listen to them, as we sing along. Father, may your will be done in the hearts of your children, united in one accord for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
You know, we all have a habit of sometimes holding on to things that we should just give to Jesus. We are nothing on our own, and everything with Him. So I always really loved this song growing up as a kid, so I think I appreciate it too. It's called I Surrender All.
Stand, whatever comes before us.
Thank you. know, this is exactly what Jesus is. He's more than enough for me.
You found me. You have given love.
long for.
Your touch is what I long for. You have given life to me.
The same line, your touch.
Amen. But if you have your Bibles this morning, thank you, April.
Hallelujah.
Everybody, amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5 to get this morning. Praise the Lord. I see quite a few empty seats this morning. It's been being a standing room, so we need to get on the phone and call the folks that aren't here. Amen. Hallelujah. Cinco de Mayo, is that open? Cinco de Mayo recovery, you mean? Yeah. Understood. Understood. I know what the sermon will be next week. Hallelujah. All right. Praise the Lord. Now, the boys back there from Atlanta are thinking, what's Cinco de Mayo? I don't know what that is. It's a big deal in South Texas, brother, let me tell you. No. I shared with some folks earlier today, or maybe it was yesterday, that I was getting later in the week before the Lord laid on my heart what it was I was supposed to speak to today. But when he did, it was overpowering. I knew exactly what it was that I was supposed to share with you guys this morning, I believe. And I want to start off with a story that is different, a story that I have shared before, a long time ago, that maybe you might remember. It's something that kind of illustrates the point real well. But there was a young soldier and his commanding officer, and they're traveling, and they board this train together. Now, the only available seats on this train for this soldier and his commanding officer was across from this very attractive young woman who was traveling with her elderly grandmother. Well, they go ahead and they say, well, these are the only seats available. So they sit down and they engaged in a very pleasant conversation. However, that soldier and that young lady, they kept eyeing one another. And it was obvious that the attraction was mutual. They were both looking at one another. Well, suddenly the train went into a dark tunnel, pitch black, couldn't see anything. And I mean, just solid blackness. And immediately, two sounds were heard, the wet smack of a kiss and the whack of a slap. Now, the grandmother thought, I can't believe he just kissed my granddaughter, but I sure am glad she gave him one heck of a slap across the face. Now, the commanding officer thought, I don't blame the boy for kissing the girl. However, I wish he hadn't have missed and slapped me. And then, this is all going, the young girl, she's thinking, I'm glad he kissed me, but I sure wish Grandmama had not slapped him in such a way. Well, the train comes out into the daylight, and the soldier just couldn't wipe this smirk off his face. He had just stopped, and he couldn't just thought about it. He had seized the opportunity, stole a kiss from this nice little girl, and slapped his commanding officer and got away with both of them. He seized the opportunity when it presented itself and got everything there he wanted to do done and sat with a smug little smile on his face. Folks, that young soldier knew how to grab an opportunity in that story. In the same way, I would submit to you that we as Christians must take advantage, kind of like my sister April was sharing just a moment ago, not just on Sunday, but every opportunity that comes our way. Whenever God presents the opportunity to us to share the gospel, to reach out, to minister, to be whatever it is that God has called us to be, we should seize the day. We should grab it right there. You know, some of you guys watched Sherry and I at the White House this past week. But what you didn't know is that we almost didn't make it. The whole reason why we went was to speak at Statutory Hall there in the Capitol building. But we almost didn't make it there. It's not every day you get a call from the White House and get a personal invitation. Hey, why don't you come by and visit? Obviously, the priorities changed in our lives. We said, yeah, be there. Just a minute. I don't think you have to try to guess what we did there. We seized that opportunity. As Christians, we have been called to seize the day. When an opportunity presents itself, when God moves in front of us, we need to jump on that. God has predestined, if you will, some incredible opportunities in our lives if we will just act upon them. He has put some opportunities out there for us to share the gospel, to minister to others, and yet we tend to turn away and walk away and do all kinds of other things. Unfortunately, so often we get so caught up in the details of the day-to-day life that we don't make time to seize those moments in time. It was a blessing. I'm going to kind of call him out here. But David was, this past week when he went with us, he was witnessing to everyone. We were riding in limos or Ubers. There was a cab the one time. And he would sit down. One of the first questions he'd ask the driver, do you know Jesus? Amen. You know, do you know where you're going? He was witnessing to everyone. He was trying to seize the opportunity that God presented to him. As Christians, we should be all, not one person, not just a pastor, but every one of us, every single one of us should do that. What if we had said no to the vice president? What if we said, no, we're not going to come over today. I have a speaking engagement coming on. We were able to pray with two different folks who needed prayer in that White House that would not have happened otherwise. Now, I'm not saying we just that we were there because the vice president asked us. I'm saying God choreographed it for that vice president to ask us so we could be there to pray for those who needed it. What if we had said no? What if we had not reached out? Or to one of those people, what if we had not turned around and said, what can I pray for you for? I'm afraid we are guilty of blowing off too many opportunities. And then we go around and say, oh, poor me. Why doesn't God ever do anything great for me? Why doesn't God use me in his ministries? When in reality, we don't seize the opportunity when he gives it to us. We think about our deadlines, we think about our commitments, we think about our distractions and all the obstacles that can be put in the way rather than how can I seize the moment. We'll focus on all the derogatory and the negative aspects, why not to, when in reality, just step out there and ask, can I pray for you? What can I do for you? When God brings that person, that individual, that circumstance into our pathway, it doesn't catch him by surprise. He didn't say, oh, I didn't know David was going to say that. No, he brought that person there because he expects David to do that. He expects Frank to do that. He expects each one of us to go ye therefore and make disciples. In other words, we are to go and share the gospels. Gospels. There's only one. Gospel. We are to go out there and speak the word of truth when he tells us to, not sit back on our laurels. One of the ladies that I asked that I could pray with her, she instantly teared up and said yes and told me a story that there's no way she would have told me if I had not first asked her, could I pray with you? Amen. And she was a lady that I would not have expected that story to come from. It's just God laid it on my heart to speak, and can I pray with you? Folks, I'm not trying to say that Frank did something special. I'm saying that I got to be used as the hands and the feet and the mouthpiece of God because I seized the opportunity, and I'm proud to say it was God's will, but I got to be a part of it. We should be thankful when God allows us to be a part of his ministry. We shouldn't say, oh, God's going to tell me to speak to that person. It should be God's going to tell me, go speak to that person, because he is going to minister, and praise God, I get to be a part of it. When we would change our priorities into seizing the opportunity, into seizing the moment in time, into seizing the situation, we're going to see miraculous works of God performed, and we're not going to sit back and say, oh, poor me. We're going to say, hallelujah. Amen. Folks, we need to quit focusing on the why I can't and focus on what can I do. I think we so often, we want a greater sense of fulfillment. We truly want to be more than what we are. But it just seems like it's just out of our grasp. There was a pastor who said one time that God will not give your opportunities away. I disagree with that. I truly disagree. He leaves it up to us to take hold of those opportunities. And if we choose not to be a part of his ministry and to witness when he tells us to, he's going to send the one who will. He's going to grab the tool that he knows works. He's going to grab the person that he knows will step out there and proclaim the gospel. He'll give you the opportunity, but if you step back and put your hands up and say, well, you know, I got to do this, I got to do that, well, I'll send David. I know he won't trip. We are so guilty of missing the opportunity, of stepping in the way. No one, I believe, wants life to be just average. By nature, we want our lives to be grandiose. We want them to be full. We want them to be prosperous. I think everyone in here wants to be used by God. Well, I would submit to you this morning that so does God. God wants it that way too. He just is waiting for, oftentimes he's waiting for us to step up and do something. He's already put everything in play, but now where are you at? Paul shares these words with the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to submit to you that they are for us today as well. But in Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15, we're going to do 15 through 17. It says, pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise. And doing what? Making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. That means we shouldn't foolishly waste our time. We shouldn't foolishly keep going about doing the things that we think we have to do consecutively. So many times we get stuck in a rut and stuck in the same old system, and we get stuck in the same old set of things we do every day, when in reality God's trying to interject all kinds of opportunities to truly bless, to be blessed, to truly reach out and share the gospel. But we're missing them. You know, we need to stop and realize we should be the reflections of Jesus 24/7. April, like April shared a while ago, it's not just on Sunday. We have been given a mission, and that mission is to go out there, and it could be easily codenamed 24/7. Every day, every minute of every day, we are to shine His light, the light of the good news, the light of the gospel. And that means whether it's a taxi driver that you happen to be riding with, the grocery clerk at HEB, it may be your coworker at the toolbox next to you, it could be in school and the student across the way, it may even be witnessing to your teacher when the opportunity presents itself. But we are to do what God tells us to do when He tells us to do it. Throughout history, God has shown Himself in and through relationships. Folks, Jesus could have simply given His disciples power. He could have said, here's just power. Everything you touch, everything's going to be done. But instead, He spent three and a half years with His disciples, training them, molding them, modeling Him to be the life, to become the person that He intended them to be, so they could go ye therefore and make disciples and baptize. He molded them so that they would go out and make wise decisions, wise choices. Folks, when we go to our Bible studies, when we open our Word on our own on a daily basis, when we pick up this book, we should be studying it not so we can say, ha, look what I'm doing. We're not studying it so God can put a check mark in the box that says we studied our Bible today. We are trying to become more and more like the apostles, but even more so, more and more in an intimate relationship with Jesus. And the more I am in an intimate relationship with Jesus, the more He's going to exude His life from me. And the more that others see Jesus in me, the more we're going to see Jesus' actions in me. In other words, when you look in the Scriptures and you see the life of Jesus, did He ever miss an opportunity to talk about who His Heavenly Father was? Did He ever miss an opportunity to share what grace and mercy was? Did He ever miss an opportunity to speak to the self-righteous and remind them of who really is in control? When we are being what God has called us to be and taking advantage of the opportunities that He presents Himself, we can go away saying thank you, Jesus, and hallelujah, because we know that we have just been the hands and feet of an almighty God. Amen. It's not just the preachers. It's not just the evangelists. It's not just the prophets. It's everyone who claims Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know why I can say that? Because the same Holy Spirit that indwelled Peter indwells me and indwells you if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen. And that Holy Spirit does not like to be contained. That Holy Spirit does not like to be locked up in a box and say, I want out. I want to go touch it. Go over there and touch. Well, you know what? I'll just do it through him. Because that man needs ministering to. That lady needs prayer. This person over here needs their yard mowed. This person over here needs to know that God is still with them and in control. This person over here needs a hug. This person over here needs to be brought back down to earth. This person over here just needs to know that there's somebody out there praying for them. Folks, it is not just my job. It's every one of us. Grab and grasp the opportunity that God puts before us and do it as soon as he presents it. Not argue with him, but say, thus saith the Lord. Jesus' actions were examples, guys. They were the pictures to model our lives over. Unfortunately, we have come to the place where so many of us have turned away. You know, there's a lot of people, for whatever reason, can say, well, we've been rejected by the church, or the church kind of, they didn't look to me, and you know, I just feel like I'm just going to sit in the back row of the church. Nobody cares about me. And we sit there and we get all sad, ascetic looking, and look like we've lost everything. When in reality, the opportunities have been presenting themselves. Don't wait on me. Wait on the Father. Amen. Don't wait on somebody to bring these opportunities to you. Say, God, what would you have me to be? You know, it's very painful, but it's true. We as a church, oftentimes, we forget brothers and sisters. But let me tell you this morning, guys, my God has not forgotten you. My Lord and my Savior, he still wants to use you. And you may feel as though, well, somebody said, I can't teach, or I can't speak well, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. My God says you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. And if you will step out when he presents the opportunity, that's when great and mighty things happen. You know, much of the world is not interested in Christianity. It rejects Christianity. Why? I think it's because so many times we who call ourselves Christians act like God is dead. We'll go out and say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, and just go about doing things the way the world does and don't reach out to try to be a part of the ministry or anything else. We'll just go out and act like everybody else rather than stopping and grabbing the opportunities and saying, thus say the Lord. Folks, the truth is this, until we move beyond our superficial faith, we're not going to experience supernatural living. Until we move beyond just saying we're Christians and start acting as such, start sharing the gospel, start allowing the power of God move in us and work in us and through us and touch our neighbors and touch our family members and touch our coworkers, until they see actions that go along with the words, we're just presenting a dead God. But when we can come in excited and they say, well, how can you be excited? You owe bills, you got heartaches, you got pains, you got this, you got that. I'm excited because my God used me to pray for sister so-and-so the other. My God used me because of the cashier at HEB said thank you when I said hallelujah. That because I said I'm having a blessed day, I saw a smile show on somebody's face. God used me to be a part of his ministry. Little old me in the middle of nowhere town, God chose me to encourage somebody else. And for that reason, I'm excited. And when they see that excitement, they're going to say, man, maybe there is something in this God you're proclaiming. Amen. And you know what's going to happen? You just get more excited because you just made them excited. Amen. And then they're going to make somebody excited, and they're going to come back to you and say, have you seen so-and-so? I said, yeah, you know, that's great. He's doing well. And they're going to see you and say, man, this is great. And you're going to say, man, I just got excited even more. I would say it's a vicious circle, but it's not. It's a glorious circle. The more we get involved in grabbing the opportunities and seizing the moments that God presents before us, the more we recognize and realize that nothing catches God off guard, the more I stand and say, thank you, Jesus, for using me, the more I've experienced the blessings and the glory of an almighty God. You know, in Oklahoma City, across from the federal building, there is a memorial right across the street. It's 9 foot high. Is a statue of Jesus. And Jesus, the way they portrayed him, he's standing, he's right across from where this devastation happened. I can't remember how many lives were lost. I think it was a couple hundred or 170 lives. A lot of lives were lost. But it shows Jesus with his hands in his head in his hands, turned away just like this. And the inscription on the bottom, all it says is, Jesus weeps. I would submit to you this morning, when we refuse to be what God's called us to be, when we refuse to reach out and touch that lost brother or sister, when we refuse to pray for that lost brother and sister, when we refuse to reach to the hurting and the anguish, when we refuse to seize the opportunity, I can't help but see that statue in my mind. When we choose not to help that person that God sent us to, for whatever the reason may be, I believe he turns and he weeps because there was the opportunity that he had for you. But isn't it great? I serve a God that's omnipotent and omniscient, and he can grab the one who will act and bring them over there as well. Amen. So if you choose not to act, if you choose not to focus on what it is God would have you to do, praise God, I hope he uses me to come right behind you. Because if you don't want to reap the bounty of a glorious God, I sure do. And every one of us should want to do that. Every one of us should want to stand before the Lord one day and him look down. I hope and I pray and I do truly, you may think I'm weird here, but I envision God sometimes. I just want to be able to stand in front of him that day and I want to see a beaming smile with the Shekinah glory of God coming from him. And he's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Yeah, you messed up over there a few times. And yeah, I had to pop you upside the head a couple. But welcome home." Amen. And I can just imagine him arms wrapping around me. Folks, I would rather him say, "Frank, you missed this opportunity, that one. But look at this list of the ones that you got. Thank you, Frank, for doing and being what I called you to be. For going out there and sharing the gospel." You know, there's a gentleman, there's a story this man says that his parents told him that he needed to quit being late for dinner. They were getting upset with him that he kept coming down late for dinner. And they had a very stern talk with the boy. Well, it says that the next night he came down, he was later than he ever was. He just came down, he didn't care, and he sat down. Well, as he sat down, his parents are sitting at the table and everything looks normal until he looks down. He has one slice of bread on his plate and a glass of water. And he's looking at that, and he's looking at the full plates on the table of his mom and his dad. But it's about that time his dad reaches over slowly and picks up his plate, puts it in front of him, and he puts his full plate in front of his son. And his dad ate the bread and drank the water and went on about his way. That man grew up, and he went on. He said, "All my life, I have known what God has done for me because of what my dad did that one day." The rest of his life, he understood that he doesn't deserve anything but bread and water, but his dad gave him his own. And he thought, the rest of my life, that's what Jesus did for me. And when I think of everything that Jesus has given to me, how could I not give everything I have for him? Amen. Folks, we have been called to be transformed into his image. We are to be transformed into the image of an almighty God. We are to be Christ followers. There was a book that came out a while back about being a Christ fan. We're not to be a fan of Christ. We're to be Christ followers. Fans sit on the sidelines and hold up weird-looking fingers that say number one. But what do the true followers do? They get out on the field. They're out there in the midst of the play. They're out there being what God's called them to be. A Christ follower is going to be in the midst of everything. Men and women of the cross, 24/7, every day. They're going to be active. They're going to be doing something. You know, there was a man that told his wife one day, he said, "Honey, I don't ever want to live in a vegetative state. If I get in that position and I meet these particulars right here, I want you to go and I want you to have the heart. I want you to go over and tell them it's time to pull the plug. I don't want to be like that." And she said, "Are you really sure about that?" He said, "I do not ever want to be in a vegetative state." So she got up and she walked over and unplugged the TV. Sometimes I think we put more power into that TV than we do about going out and being what God's called us to be. Rather than picking up our Bibles, we'll turn on that TV for the next NCIS or whatever it may be. "Well, you don't understand, Pastor, the football game's coming on." Maybe you should have thought about that before you put the Bible off in the morning. We need to grab the opportunities. We need to think about, we are to evaluate our lives, our relationships, our actions, our resources. Are they in the light of the relationship with Jesus Christ? Am I where I need to be so that I can grasp the opportunity when God presents it? Paul says, study to find yourself approved. Be ready in season and out of season. What does he mean by that? You never know when God's going to present the opportunity. You be ready to share the gospel. I'm not saying you have to be a great theologian. All you need to do is be able to acknowledge that God's in the midst of everything that we say and we do. Now, Satan's going to bring in all the busyness. He's going to try to make you so busy you don't notice where you're supposed to be. He may not be able to steal your salvation, but if he can keep you busy, he's accomplished the task. He's kept you from grasping opportunities. We need to stop and say, where am I going? Do I have a destination? Is there a purpose in what I'm doing here? Guys, when we stop and realize that there's purpose and meaning to our lives, that God has given us our 50, 60, 70, 80 years. There was somebody here yesterday that was going to Alice after the event because her grandmother was turning 103. Hallelujah. Maybe God will bless us with 103 years, 110. But whatever he blesses us with, guys, the years on this side of glory is to tell others about the other side of glory. And those, when we choose not to do that, we're wasting those years. So many of us wake up, and I think we go about following the same routine day after day after day. We get so caught up in our busyness. Get up, go to work. Get up, get the kids ready, go to work. Get up, get the kids ready, take them to school, go to work. Take the kids to ball practice, come home, eat lunch, dinner, go to bed. And we just do that day after day after day after day. When in reality, God's saying, I have interspersed this entire day with incredible opportunities. If you will just stop and look. Folks, what I'm trying to say this morning is that we don't need to go out and live a life without license. I'm not saying go out there and just all of a sudden change everything up. Don't get wild and crazy all of a sudden. Unless it's for Jesus, and then you can get more undignified than this. Amen? Sorry, I just had the song start rolling in my head there. But we can go out on a daily basis and say, God, what do you have for me today? This is a day that the Lord hath made. I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, there is monotony. Yes, there is repetitive things going on. But in the midst of those things, you are still God. You are still Lord. You are still going to have people come and cross my pathways. It may be somebody at the lunch counter. It may be a new custodian. I don't know who it may be. But God, show me this day where my divine appointment resides, and may I not miss it. And you know what happens? You're going to look for it. And all of a sudden, you may talk to this person. They may blow you off. And you're going to talk to this person. And they may blow you off. But then you're going to talk to this person. And they're going to say, brother, thank you for that prayer. And all of a sudden, you have become a part of God's ministry. And that Shekinah glory of God builds within you. And the Holy Spirit has a righteous pride within you. Not making you self-righteous, but you can sit back and say, God, you used me again. Something as poor and pathetic as I am, you still use me. And you know what that builds within you? More courage to go out and do it again. Every one of us that knows Jesus is our Lord and Savior, we have not been called to be yoked with the world. He says, take on my yoke, for my burden is easy. My burden is light, saith the Lord. We're to put on his yoke, and that way every day he is going to direct us with his yoke. It's not the world. It's not our jobs that are directing us. So many of us think, well, I have to work because I got to do this, this, and this. No, I'm going to go to work and I'm going to see what it is and who it is God's going to have me witness to today. Amen. When I am yoked to the Lord rather than to the job, I can go and do my work and wait for where the Lord's going to send me. We're to seize the day with wisdom, he says, not foolishly. With wisdom, we are to seize the time that's been allotted to us. Folks, when Jesus said to deny self, he's saying, then follow me. We are to make Jesus our life song. We are to seize the opportunities that he has placed before us. It's your decision. I can't seize them for you. Oftentimes, I won't even actually see them. They're in your eyes. God spoke to you. Speak these words. We have to make the decision now, I believe, to seize each and every day when God presents it. We're not called to be fans. We're called to be followers. Get on the field. Get off the sidelines and get active. I've said it millions of times and I'll keep on saying it. Even a chicken lays an egg when it sits. You can't just sit and tell me, I came to church, I've got it all going on. Not unless you're going to leave an egg. Don't do that. Don't come in here with eggs next Sunday. You know what I'm saying there. Don't just come to church and say, I'm going to sit. I want you to leave out of here, and just like April said a while ago, when you leave out of these doors this morning, look for the opportunity. God, whom is it that you would have me to speak to today? Where is it you would have me to go? Don't say, well, that's the pastor's job. It's the deacon's job. It's all of ours. God, where would you have me? How would you have me? It's time for each and every one of us. Well, Pastor, I'm not a theologian. I don't have speaking skills. Isn't it great that the Holy Spirit that resides within you not only has speaking skills, but if he doesn't think you can do it, he'll put Aaron beside you, and you can tell Aaron, hey, let's go talk to this man. Amen. Our excuses are just that, excuses. Amen. The Holy Spirit wants to be used. No. The Holy Spirit wants to use you. Will you allow that to happen? Now, the first thing I would say this morning in seizing the day, if you have not seized a hold of the garment of Jesus Christ, if you have not been washed by the blood of the Lamb, then you don't have a clue as to what I'm saying here this morning. You can have a lot of head knowledge. You can be a brilliant theologian and still not be a child of the Lord. I'm going to kind of call her on the spot. I don't see her here this morning. But Julie Rogers yesterday said an incredible thing. She didn't quite understand it, she said, but I did. And I was praising God for her. She said, I had a mental knowledge of who God was. But one Thursday night, I realized I didn't have the heart knowledge. And she said, it didn't make sense to me. I knew God here. But when he moved here, now I smile. Now my life has changed. Not tangibly, I can't say I got this, that, or the other, but I have joy in my heart. What an answer when she was asked that question. They were filming it, so I couldn't make noises, but I wanted to jump around over there. Yeah! Hoorah! In fact, I did snort on their video once because she said something that's hilarious. I'm not good to be in a room when people are filming. I'm just not, obviously. But I thought, what an answer. Amen. Guys, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if he has not moved to your heart, now's the time to get that right. And when you get that right, you're going to go out and all of a sudden opportunities are going to present themselves. Amen. And then you're going to make the decision, yay or nay. Right. I choose to grab a hold of this or I choose not. But you'll realize the decision is yours. The question this morning, I'm not telling you to wait till the black tunnel and kiss the girl and slap your commanding officer. But I am telling you to go out into the world, and when God says speak, speak. Amen. When God says ask, can I pray for you? Ask. That doesn't mean ask every single person. Well, it might be for you. But be wise with how you use your time. God may say, no, skip this one. This is the one that needs prayer right now. But the only way you're going to have that kind of interaction with God is to have a relationship. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's the one that he's asking you to yoke yourself to. And once you're yoked to him, he'll guide your pathways. Amen. He'll be a light unto your feet. And his word he'll hide in your heart so that you won't sin against him. In fact, you'll grab the opportunities to praise him. Where are you this morning? Now, if you're here and you do know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, are you grabbing all your opportunities? I don't think any of us grab them all because we're not to a position where we see them all. But are you grabbing some? Are you trying to look for them? Or are you letting the world just tell you they don't exist? This altar will be open. You can pray at this altar. I'd love to come pray with you out there this morning. Whatever it is that God's laid on your heart, you can pray with each other. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we had 4 baptisms yesterday. Praise God, out on our new property. Yeah, God gets the glory. Amen. But wouldn't it be great to continue to show God that we're about doing his business? If God's speaking to you this morning, will you heed his voice? Will you listen to what he has to say in your life? It's your decision today. I want to lead us in a word of prayer as we all stand. Father God, I come before you right now, and I humbly just lay this message at your feet, And I lay all these folks down at your feet and just ask, God, that you would just speak to them in a way that they can hear your words. If you're calling them out this morning to accept you, if you're whispering in their ear, if maybe you're even crying out to their heart that they still have not bowed that knee and have accepted you, may they listen to that still small voice. May they listen to your glory. May they listen to your hand being outstretched to them, and may they take it and walk back towards you. May they turn their eyes to you and acknowledge, I am a sinner in need of your grace, Lord God. Father, for those of us that are here that for whatever reason we've gotten caught up in the rat race and in the same old, same old, may we look for the opportunities to move that Holy Spirit into the position it needs to move. May we speak the words when you tell us to speak them. Act when you tell us to act. And praise when you tell us to praise. God, help us to seek your face this day. And as Paul told the Ephesians, may we grab every moment, not foolishly, but wisely proclaiming who you are. May your will be done, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If God's speaking to you this morning, April's going to be singing, but this altar is open. I want you to come down. I'll pray with you. You can pray at the altar. You can pray right where you're at. But will you get your heart right with God? And if you're here this morning and everything's great and you're just praising the Lord, then sing along and pray for those around you. Let's do what God calls us to do this day. Amen?
Amen.
As April leads us in song this morning.
Hold on.
about to just doesn't mean.
If God's telling you to get on your knees, you need to get on your knees. His cry doesn't stop. His altar call, his calling out to you never ceases. Just because you may get out of the church and say, whew, that was close. You didn't leave him back there. When you look over in the other seat, he's right there. When you go to eat, he's right there. And just think, if he was right when you're about to take a bite of something great, he makes my ugly face show up. Might as well just get it straight now. Get your life right with the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. Before we close this morning, I'm going to ask you to grab your seat. Benny has come to me this morning. He asked if he could share a quick testimony, something that he feels like God's laid on his heart that rolls with what Ted said and everybody said. So come on up, brother. Got that mic?
Short people call, right? Well, basically it says, guys, these past couple of weeks,
because I'm out there in San Antonio, I work in the bar scene. So, of course, I see the ugly and the darkness of this world, right? Yeah. It's been really, really, really putting me down here. And I've been kind of questioning, like, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I where I am? What's going on here? You know, and my life is dimming because of this. But today, really opened my eyes. Like, I gave Ted a real big hug with tears in my eyes, because you know what? I am where I'm supposed to be. You are where you're supposed to be. No matter how dark and ugly this world is, you are a beautiful light. And do not let this world dim that. You know, trust who you are. You know, don't be ashamed of who you are. Why? Because God is never ashamed of who you are. And that's what He put in my heart to say. And the reason why I say what I have to share this, because whenever God puts something in your heart, it's not because you're the only one. It's that you're the one.
Christ shine wherever He's placed you, and eventually, hopefully, He'll pull you out of that dark place. But while you're there, let that light shine. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Good seeing everybody this morning. I praise the Lord for each one of you. Keep looking up throughout this week, guys. The world's a dark place. But isn't it great we serve a gloriously bright God? He said it may be scary, but be of good cheer, for I have conquered the world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand together this morning. Hallelujah. Brother Tim, do you mind closing us in prayer this morning, brother? All right, Tim's going to close us in prayer today, guys. You're dismissed, guys.
See you.